How you guys doing? Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. Want to welcome those of you that are watching online as well. Hey, where I'm going to begin, we're going to study today in the Bible is Jonah chapter 3. So if you have a Bible with you or you have the app, open it up to Jonah chapter 3. And before we get into that, I want to receive the offering. And so if the ushers want to come forward, and as they're coming, I just want to take a moment and thank those of you who give financially to God through the Vineyard. Because, you know, as we do that together as a church family, God uses our money to change the world one life at a time. He really does. And I know many of you are incredibly generous. And as we give back to God, man, He just uses our money to change the world. And so you're investing in eternity when you're giving to God through the Vineyard. Really, really, really wise investment. So we're going to pause for a moment. We're going to pray and ask God to bless the offering. Let's also pray and open up our hearts and minds to God and ask God to speak to us out of the Bible today. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, as we give back to you financially, whenever we do that, God, I pray that you would take the money that we give and that you would use it to change people's lives, and you would change the world one life at a time. God, bless our finances and bless us, Lord, in being faithful to you with our finances. And now, God, as we worship you by studying your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make the Bible come alive to each one of us. I pray, God, that you'd speak into every heart, every mind, whether they're online, whether they're in person. Whatever we need to hear from you, God, we open our hearts to you and we say, have your way, God, in my life. And Lord, if there are things that I've not studied or thought about for this message, and yet there are things that you want me to communicate, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would drop those in my mind and in my heart as we go along. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been studying the book of Jonah for the last two weekends. We're going to continue that today, and we'll finish that up next weekend. And I know, for whatever reason, some of you have not been here for both of the talks. So I just want to be, you know, I just want to give you a little review so we're all basically on the same page when we start this week. If you remember, the story begins when God calls to Jonah in Jonah chapter 1, and he says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And then Jonah does what most people do when God calls them. He runs in the opposite direction. And why does Jonah do this? Because when the going gets tough, the tough get out of Dodge. And the Bible tells us that Jonah then goes down to a city called Joppa, and he goes down into a ship sailing to Tarshish, and then he goes down into the bottom of the ship, and he falls asleep. So which way is Jonah's life going? It's going down, down, down. But one of the surprising things about this is that when things are going down, God is almost always up to something great. And so the Bible tells us that then God causes a, quote, great storm to come up. And then the pagan sailors who Jonah's on the ship with, they start praying to their small g gods to calm the sea, but nothing happens. And the storm becomes so massive that the sailors begin to throw their prize cargo overboard. And finally, the sailors go to Jonah, and they tell Jonah to pray to his God. They've been praying to their gods, nothing's happened, so they want Jonah to pray to his God. Well, Jonah tells the sailors that he's actually running from his God, And if they want to save their lives, what they need to do is they need to pick him up and throw him into the ocean. And so the sailors eventually oblige, and miraculously, the storm stops. And the sailors come to believe in Jonah's God. That's the first surprise in this story. Pagan sailors end up worshiping Israel's God. But where's Jonah? He's sinking down into the sea. Again, down, down, down. And then the Bible tells us that God provides a, quote, great fish that swallows Jonah. Now, we talked about this last weekend. And even though we don't know of any such fish that can swallow a person, and we don't know of any such fish that's ever been able to swallow a person, the point is not the fish. The point is that this would take a miracle. And thankfully, that's the kind of God that God is. And so for 3 days and three nights, Jonah is in the belly of this fish, and he prays to God. And God hears Jonah, and God refuses to let Jonah go. And so after 3 days and three nights, God causes this fish to vomit Jonah up, back onto dry land. And so Jonah is now rescued from death. Again, God is up to some great things in the life of Jonah. And you can probably imagine what Jonah was thinking about that time. He's probably thinking something like, man, I'm alive. I've been in a fish's belly for 3 days and three nights, and I'm alive. I mean, I'm covered with fish vomit, but at least I'm alive. God heard my prayer. He saved me. So maybe I should do something about this. Maybe I should write this down. I should write my spiritual memoirs. I could call them The Man in Me, like Britney Spears did when she wrote her memoirs. Or I could call them Jonah, the memoir, like Paris Hilton did when she wrote hers. Or maybe I should just start a church right here. I could do it right here on the beach. I could call it the Church of the Whales. And I could do baptisms by, you know, throwing people off of ships. And we could have testimonies from pagan sailors. Obviously, I don't know what Jonah was thinking. But it's not hard to imagine that Jonah wants to get started on his new life. He's just been saved from death. And so he wants to move on to bigger and better things. And that's where we pick up the story today. In Jonah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. See the word great again. The great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. Does that sound familiar? You know, sometimes we think God sort of forgets. You know, sometimes God calls us to do something, but then for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. And we think that maybe God forgot. But here, God calls Jonah a second time. And he tells him the same thing. I want you to go to the great city of Nineveh. And remember, I've told you that the language in this book is super important. The word that this book keeps using about God is the word great, over and over again. The word that this book keeps using about Jonah is the word down. So here, God calls Nineveh a, quote, great city. And what does God tell Jonah to do? He says, go to Nineveh. And the key word in that sentence is the word go. See, I want you to know, the word go is one of the most fundamental words in the entire Christian faith. Unfortunately, all too often, Christians seem to focus on the opposite of the word go, which is the word stop. A lot of Christians think that Christianity is all about stopping things. Well, you know, if I start following Jesus, I'm going to have to stop doing that. I'm going to have to stop doing that other thing. I'm going to have to stop doing this thing. Now, obviously, it's a really good thing to put off habits and behaviors that are sinful or harmful or not of God. But the heart of Christianity is not the word stop. If it was, then we'd all be better off just staying at home all the time and hiding under the bed, not doing anything. No, the heart of Christianity is the word go. In fact, the very last thing that Jesus told us as his followers before he ascended into heaven in Matthew 28, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go, therefore." Underline that part. Go, therefore. That's for all of us. And make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. See, at the heart of Christianity, there's always an outward focus. Christianity is not supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about those who are not yet followers of Jesus. There's always this going aspect. And I want you to know, if you're online or you're in person and you are a follower of Jesus, I want you to know one of the main reasons Jesus revealed himself to you is because he wants you to go. He wants you to go. He wants you to go into your neighborhood. He wants you to go to your workplace. He wants you to go to your family, your friends, your extended family. And he wants you to let them know about Jesus. Where to go? Let me ask you, are you going? Is that what you're doing with your life? Are you going? And here in this story, where is Jonah called to go? He's called to go to Nineveh. Now remember, I told you Nineveh is sort of like Sin City. In fact, Nineveh is beyond Sin City. Nineveh is like Vegas times a billion. I mean, Nineveh makes a red light district look like Disneyland. Remember, the Israelites hated Assyria. Assyria was the world ruler at that time, and they hated Assyria, and the capital of Assyria was Nineveh. See, the Israelites felt like Nineveh was too evil for a holy God to have anything to do with. See, in the Israelites' minds, Nineveh wasn't just the place that you didn't want to go. Nineveh was the place that was simply out of God's reach. They thought even God couldn't reach Nineveh. In your life, Nineveh is the friend or the coworker or the family member that you've prayed for and you've prayed for and you've prayed for, but they never seem to change.